pipe downstream, then that becomes a higher priority so we can use the full capacity of the pipes downstream. It also looks at a lot of different slopes, make sure it's okay without having to do all that measurement in the field.
So the city of Tukwila has pipes and flows throughout the entire Duwamish that you have identified, and each location essentially has to be like modeled as far as can handle the capacity. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. Make sure it handles capacity and it's steep enough so the flow, especially for sewer, if you don't get proper flow, you can have backups. So we don't want to see that.
The document also says you recommendations for project priorities. Like, what would be an example of one of those kind of project priorities that your plan identifies?
Yeah, so the list on the financial planner, all the capital improvement projects that we have, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them were identified during that period. And the priority a lot of times changes when we do such studies.
What would be an example of one? Just give me an example.
But on the, Councilmember, on the water side of the business, one of the examples is it identified storage and demand. So we're doing a water reservoir. So that's an example. And the second is on the water, we're also doing the Macadam Road to complete the loop on Macadam Road, because that's very useful for us to provide the fire flow for the apartments and other buildings in that area. So those are two examples that came from the comprehensive plan.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Panakanti. Thank you.
Right, and then on my end, I see the contract amount, and you seem to be below it. Any comments on the contract?
We're well below it. We're still on schedule. I think we're slightly ahead, but we're likely going to spend most of it, but we shouldn't need more than what we have, and we're well within the budget. I don't think we've spent even half of the budget allocated.
Okay. Sounds pretty healthy overall. Do you have any areas that are lessons learned or wish you would have had, if you had hindsight at this stage?
So, council members, there are always lessons learned. And so, for example, the water reservoir, we would like to build that at the highest point topographically, but at the highest point, the land may not be up for sale. And so if we had done this 5-6 years ago, there was probably more land. So there are some of the examples of lessons learned. But as a smaller and nimble, efficient water utility, we have to move with the money and with the demand and supply. So that's sort of an example.
And then we cooperate heavily with Seattle on some things with our water. There's also the Water District 125. Are there any other water utilities supplying Tukwila?
Yeah, we do have interties with the Highline Water. And so that's another water district you didn't mention. So Water District 125, Seattle Public Utilities is usually the block water supplier for most of these. And we're also working with the Cascade Water Alliance, who is helping all of these smaller jurisdictions. So we work with them.
We also have Kent, Renton, and Water District 20.
Okay. Just sort of maybe sharing information that the near members could use in the future. Okay. Unless there's any other questions, this was for discussion only. There's no decision to be made on this. I'm going to go ahead and move forward to item 2B, the Gilliam Creek Fish Barrier Removal Project. It's a resolution for an RCO grant application. Brittany Robinson is going to introduce this. And it's our consideration is to forward it to the Committee of the Whole on February 14th and a special meeting consent agenda right after that. So I see Mike Perfetti now, but is Brittany going to speak? Or?
Hi. Brittany is out sick today. So I will be speaking to this. Thank you, Councilmember Cooler, and for Councilmember Sharp and Abdiya Don't believe we've met. I'm Mike Perfetti. I'm the surface water program manager. Our group handles stormwater, habitat restoration, national pollution discharge elimination, and levees, flood management, and flood protection. These next two items are quite similar, and they're both requesting approval to apply for grants through the State Recreation and Conservation Office. They both have the state RCO, for short, has very specific requirements about how we need to approve an application, and it's called what they're asking for is an authorizing resolution to do that. This first one here is for the Gilliam Creek Fish Barrier Removal Project, and this is the most downstream blockage on Gilliam Creek, just adjacent to south to I-405. And this project will remove that barrier and replace it with make it fish passable and replace the flood protection with something that allows that fish passage. And right now we're in the early process of this project, just getting going on design. We actually sent out an RFP this week, trying to get a consultant on board to do the design. But what we're asking for you to do today is to approve the application of a grant for this project. Actually, two applications, both administered by the RCO, one for $300,000, one for $250,000. One's through the Brian Abbott Fish Barrier Removal Board, and the other through the Salmon Recovery Funding Board. And there is a 15% match associated with these for $82,500. So yes, as you mentioned, Councilmember Kruler, we're asking for you to consider this item on the Committee of the Whole and the Consent Agenda next week.
Okay, why don't we go ahead with Councilmember Sharp? Do you have any questions on this item?
Yes, thank you, Councilmember Kruler. What's the, I guess, Flapgate, what's the current status of it? What's it doing there now?
Right now, what it does is it prevents floods coming into the creek because that section of the Green River is tidally influenced, and so water can actually back up all the way, you know, from Elliott Bay, in combination with downstream flows, has the potential to flood Gilliam Creek, and so that's what it's doing currently.
What happens if there's no, if we don't fix it?
So I think this project is somewhat voluntary. The life, you know, this flapgate still functions. It's old. It's 50 some years old. The last we looked, it was in good shape. So I think that answers your question.
Well, no, I mean, like, what happens? Is it going to break? Is it a recommendation to get it replaced? Like, what happens if we don't put the money in to fix this flapgate? You could tell me in simple terms. You don't have to give me technical jargon. You could say, like, hey, it's going to do this or that. I just,
gotcha.
Bottom line.
Yeah, no, it will continue to prevent fish passage into Gilliam Creek. And we're trying to help to recover endangered Chinook salmon. That's the primary impetus for this.
Mm-hmm. Your document also says something like a likely shift in maintenance commitments with potential elimination of flapgate maintenance. What's that mean? I mean, I don't know what it means. You can tell me simple terms. What does that mean? Is that more work for our staff?
No. Well, currently, our crews maintain that culvert and the flapgate get blocked with wood debris that floats down creek. And so we actually built recently an access and a winch system so that they can open the gate. It's like an 8-foot diameter steel gate. It's extremely heavy. So by removing that, it has the potential for alleviating the maintenance associated with that.
So it's easier to maintain. Is that right?
I think our hope is the final design would be easier to maintain.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Right, Councilmember Obby. Questions, comments?
No questions. I appreciate you giving us clarity on the importance of this. And I think Councilman Tosh asked some questions that were similar to mine, so I appreciate you clarifying this. Thank you.
Okay, so I've got a couple questions. The grant match budget is $700,000. That's the grant match budget. Is the total for the grant match 82,000?
Yes. That's for both grants combined. That would be the grant match that we're responsible for.
So both of them, they're basically 41 something and change. Okay.
Right.
All right. This is pretty standard procedure, everyone. It's a large grant for not a lot of investment. Most grants happen because they want to have these 15% matches so that we have a little skin in the game. We won't be frivolous with the projects, which Tukwila never seems to be. So our job at this moment is to do head nods. Do we have consensus here to send this on to the Committee of the Whole on February 14th and subsequently a special meeting consent agenda? Those head nods will do the trick. Thumbs up, work too. Okay, two thumbs up and I'm in as well. So that's by a unanimous support. We'll send that on. Moving to item 2C, the Nelson Side Channel Project. It's a resolution for an RCO grant application. Is that the same? Did you just cover both?
Well, I just covered two grants for the Gilliam Creek Fish Barrier Removal Project. This is
the side channel. Okay.
Pretty much the same thing, but a different project, which is right across the river called the Nelson Side Channel Project. It's a remnant of the Green River, and when WSDOT built I-405 back in, I don't know, late 60s, they rerouted the river, and this little, you know, remnant of the river still exists. So the idea here would be to reconnect that to the main stem of the river for off-channel juvenile salmon rearing habitat. And so we are hoping to apply for a salmon recovery funding grant. This is one of the grant sources I just mentioned to you related to Gilliam for $200,000 and have a match of $30,000 as part of that. And so we're asking you to consider this item at the Committee of the Whole and the consent agenda next week.
Right. Any questions, Councilmember Abdi?
No questions. Thank you.
Hey, Councilmember Sharp.
Yes, thank you. Is there an ongoing cost? I didn't ask about the last project, but is there an ongoing cost for either project as far as what it costs Tukwila once the work is done? Is there a maintenance cost other than staff materials to go out there? Is there any other cost that can be associated with this project?
There will be the maintenance costs. That will be the primary cost we'd be looking at.
And just, I'm not a salmon guy, so a channel is just, can you just explain it to me in the simple terms what the channeling is, what it currently is, and what you plan on doing it in simple terms for my simple brain here?
No, that's fine, of course. So the baby salmon, part of the reason that Chinook salmon are endangered is because the Chinook salmon don't make it out to sea and don't grow there and return. What we're really trying to do is give a place for the juvenile salmon, the young ones, to grow before they go out to the ocean. And the kind of environment or habitat they need are these backwater areas where you don't have a lot of current. And when they're close to trees and vegetation, that gives them the bugs and organisms that they can feed off of. And so that's what we're really hoping to accomplish here.
So it's like a little place off the beaten path that they can kind of hang out in, where they're not in the main flow sort of thing, and they just sort of sit there and kind of chill for a minute, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And then it also says that you're going to restore access for people. So is a plan to have like some sort of pathway that folks can go down there, or just people as in your staff?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. No, for the public. There's actually a kind of a popular little fishing beach down there now that people, you know, kind of bushwhack through. And so, you know, I think part of what we're trying to accomplish is to, you know, restore open space and river access for residents of Tukwila and for the people that visit and work here. And so that is part of what we're trying to accomplish with this project and the last project as well.
Sure. And then it says there's an expected increase in maintenance. How so? Like, how is it more work for your guys and gals to do that work there, as opposed to what its current condition now? Because I'm assuming there's there's nothing there, right? There's no place for them to kind of rest. There's nothing. So you guys are going to install a channel. So what, your folks have to go in there and start like dredging every once in a while or something, or what?
The maintenance would really be vegetation. So right now it's all blackberries, which is a non-native invasive species and not, you know, good for salmon habitat. And so particularly over the first 3 years and really for 10 years is the time period that we are trying to get rid of all of that invasive, and all the money that we put into plants, we want to support them. The other maintenance aspect would be if we do a trail, we would, you know, have to replace crushed rock paving, for example, or if we put a garbage can in, you know, to maintain that, or signage and that kind of thing.
Is there some sort of design that you have in mind already, or is that not yet until you get the money?
We're very early on. It's all we have is conceptual.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. That's all I have, Chair. Thanks.
Yep.
All right. I'm just going to look at the location. This is down by, all I can think of is across the river from the Holden South Center and the small hotel that they have on the corner as we go up the overpass to get over to the City Hall. Is that where it's at?
Yeah, this is, yeah, it's right on, so you can access it from West Valley Highway. There's a, the newer, what is it, the Wood Springs Inn Suites.
Mm-hmm.
It's you can access it by driving down there or walking down that new pathway.
Okay, and so I know there's like one or two like beach areas, and then people have, you know, gone through the briar patches, and some have set up camps there, so that leads me to a concern if that's an area that there's a proclivity for the unhoused to find a place to live. How do you plan to navigate that?
Yeah, there's homeless activity there. I think right now, what we tend to believe, I think, in design is that by activating a space, having people go there, inviting the public there, that discourages homeless activity. That's the extent to which we've really begun to address that, and other design issues like crime prevention through environmental design. That's where you're allowing sight lines into places so that the police are able to access, you know, and keep an eye on these places.
So with that, I doubt that there's a lot in your budget here for the human services side of that, but do you collaborate across departments? And maybe Hari wants to jump in on this. With the police chief and human services support, is there something that, you know, because I know that when the King County put in the park down by the light rail, when you come out of Allentown on 115th, that used to be an old house where, and it was starting to get taken over, et cetera. We, you know, mitigated that property, turned it into a salmon habitat, and now we kind of got a lot of folks staying in the parking lot there, which is a whole different story. So we want to help the salmon out. That part's great. But what's the other half of the story?
Yeah, thank you, Councilmember Perla. That's a good point. At this point, Mike and I don't have an answer to that. He's just at the very beginning of the project, and he's just looking at starting the design with this grant and stuff. So we definitely will take your point into consideration, and we'll reach out to parks and police departments, see what we can do, and we can come back to you once we have 30% design and some better answer to your question. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm just looking at the council members. This is, again, our recommendation to forward it to the Committee of the Whole on the 14th, and a special meeting consent agenda right afterwards. I'm looking for heads up, head nods, thumbs up to let it go forward. All right, go ahead and get that grant. At least three of us think that's supported by unanimous support. We're going to move on to item 2D, 42nd Avenue South Bridge Replacement Project, National Highway Freight Program Grant Application. There's Brittany again, so does that mean, is Adam Cox, are you up?
Yes, Council Member, it's taking the burden of taking this one on. So,
and it says committee action, which means we're going to vote and something's going to happen as a result of it out of this committee without going to COW, correct?
Correct. You can make a decision on proceeding with this tonight.
Okay.
Good evening, council members. This is a quick a request as we have a grant application ready for the National Highway Federal Program, Freight Program, to add for the funding for the 42nd Avenue Bridge. As you're aware, in 2020, the city approved about $1.1 million to start the 30% design for the 42nd Avenue replacement. And subsequently, in 2021, we received $1.5 million in PRC contingency funds with great help from Councilmember Kroller to get that funding. And we were able to take the 30% design and go to a full 100% design work, PS&E, or plan specs and estimate. And then with the help of council's direction, we were able to apply for $12 million from the, it used to be BRAC, but now it's local bridge program through WASHDOT, which is federal funds. So we have about $13.5 million so far set aside for design and construction. And this would just be another grant to add on to that, the funding for $2 million to apply for construction funds. As you can see, there is a 13.5% match on the financial impact, which is around $306 and $450 to give a total of $2.3 million into this grant. Deadline for the grant application is March 4th, 2022. We're ready to go, and we'll meet that deadline for the if we get approval to apply for this grant.
Right. Council members, I lost track what order I was in, so forgive me. Council Member Sharp, do you have questions or comments?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I do. This is just a request to get more money to build that bridge. Is that right, Adam?
Correct.
Okay, and then you said that you have $13 million already in the kind of in the bank.
Yes, we have 1.5.
Give or take a few.
Yeah, 1.5 was from PSRC for design, and then we have $12 million that we are can use for design, but don't need it. We would like to allocate those funds for construction.
So we do have a design already. Is that what you're saying?
We're in the process of design. We're just at the TSNL stage, draft stage at this point.
So is there a projected number on what the total cost with design the bridge? What is it out the door?
What your
estimate as of right now?
As of right now, I believe it's about $2.2 million to do the complete design for the PS&E. That's with, we have the obligation of the $1.1 million from council in 2020, and then also the 1.5 we got for PRC covers the 100% design.
And what was the cost of the bridge then, as far as like, I mean, we're asking for money, which I'm all for, but you must have some idea what that total cost for minus the 2.2 for the design, what the cost of the bridge is.
So Councilmember Sharp, I just want to interject myself here a little bit. The cost of the bridge, right now, we don't have a location. We don't have a 30% design. We will get better numbers as the design gets progressed. We think there's a delta of anywhere from $4 to $7 million or $4 to $10 million because the cost of steel is going up. There's a lot of things that are in flux right now. So I just wanted to jump in front of Adam and kind of say numbers are changing. There's a range.
Yeah, so what's the range, Mr. Panakanti?
Yeah, so we think we need anywhere from $4.5 million to $10 million. From where the 1.5 plus 12 we have, that's 13.5. We think we need another 5 to 10.
So you're saying 4.5 to 10 to build a bridge, 2.2 to design the bridge. That
Sorry.
Puts me at 12, right?
No. So let me rephrase myself. So the design cost is around $2.6 million or $2.2, like what Adam has mentioned. And our initial estimates for the bridge itself were around 18 or $20 million, depending on when we had the cost. And so what I'm saying is we need... We have about $11 million in our hands right now after the design, and we think we need another $4.5 to $10 million, depending upon the cost estimate and the cost of material and other fluctuations.
So, so I'm clear. 2.6 to design the bridge,
mm-hmm.
and we're talking about another $10 million plus the 11 that you already have to build a bridge.
Right.
Okay. So, like, we're looking at 23 or so out the door to get this bridge replaced.
Right.
Okay. And then, if you were to have the money today and we had all of the, our ducks in a row, how, again, for the record, how long does it take to build a bridge?
So the current schedule we have, we want to finish the design by the end of 23 and bid the project by end of 23 and construct by the end of 25. Adam?
Yeah, the design is planned right now to be completed by the third to fourth quarter of 2023. Obligation of construction funds would be in 2024, with the construction starting in 2024, and estimate about 2 years to construct.
Okay. I don't know anything about bridges. I'm a lineman, but do you have to build that bridge, it's going to go in the same spot, the new one, right? So you have to wreck out the other one, right?
Again, we don't have a TSNL report done, which is basically type, size, and location. So it's either we'll go right in its place or within a few hundred feet within the corridor. So we will have that discussion when we have the TSNL report in front of you. And we're planning on bringing that in front of you as soon as next week.
So is it harder to, I mean, in your estimation, you're the expert, right, as far as public works. Is it harder to park a bridge next to the old one or wreck out the old one and then put a new one in its place?
So it all depends on how the substructure is. And so the superstructure is where the bridge deck where you drive on. But if you have a substructure, which are the concrete pillars, or if you have metal girders, whatever you have left there, how wide they are, can you put a bridge on it? So it's a lot of factors. But usually it's a lot easier to put it fairly close to an existing bridge location than really far, far away. And I hopefully I answered the question. Otherwise, Adam can provide some more details.
Yes, there's definitely a lot of factors that go involved, as well as one of the big factors when you're got a bridge is span length. I mean, optimization of the bridge is to have the shortest span you can get. And so there's a lot of factors that need to be involved when you're building a bridge. And the goal is to have a temporary structure during construction to not close the whole section of that corridor off.
Sure. Well, I mean, when you guys do your design and you're asking for the money, you must have an idea like, yeah, if we got that money, we'd probably put it right here. If we got the money, if we had to build a second bridge, I would think. It's not like we're guessing. I don't know if you're guessing. I'm just, for the record, like you must have an idea, like if we can keep the existing bridge in place while the new one is built, like that's probably the easier option, right? Because then we can still have some traffic flow. Or like, is it actually easier just to wreck it out and use that kind of existing blueprint of where the old bridge was to build a new one? Because I don't know. Maybe you can provide me insight.
Yeah, if the existing bridge is in a good driving condition, it would be cheaper to leave the existing bridge and put new bridge slightly next to it. But again, we cannot authoritatively and categorically tell because there's a lot of nuances. But
okay, and then that's all I have. I appreciate you indulging me. That's all the questions I have. Thank you, Adam.
Oh, thank you.
Councilmember Aldi.
My question got answered, specifically the one I was trying to get clarification as to how long the project would take. So, but just to get clarification again, you guys said that you guys will be having the like the plan done, you know, sooner than later, and then the construction will go, what would happen in 2024, and then everything will be done by 2025, correct?
Yeah, at least by the end of 2025.
End of 2025, thank you. Yeah, I was writing those notes. And thank you for that, Adam, and, you know, Punakani, thank you. Because, yeah, that's about it, honestly. You know, I like the clarification you guys gave to Councilman Todd Sharp. He's asking some questions that I was also curious about, but, yeah, thank you. No other questions. Thank you.
Well, this is Kate. I'm going to chime in and say that when we speak at the national level, with our information feeds say that the Tukwila can contribute up to $4 million in non-federal funds that we're often asking. We know our project cost is about 21.5 and it's gone up, Hari, for the very reasons you talked about, the cost of the materials and, frankly, the human resources to do the work as well on the job sites. So I just want to make sure that our sheets are the same before I go running off to D.C. and say the same number. So I may come reconcile those with you. We put that together with the National League of Cities about a year ago. And if we need to be asking a little higher, great. And just for committee members to know, we have been working with David Hackney, our representative down in Olympia, who's on the Transportation Committee down there in the House of Representatives. And we've made asks up to $17 million there. And we certainly are looking at this infrastructure program that came out for off out-of-system bridges, which is what this is to the federal government, that could come in and pay for the entire thing if WSDOT thinks that this is important, which is also an important reason why we keep trying to bring up what's going on with the bridge that goes up to M.L. King. A lot of context there. This grant is certainly needed. $2 million does not grow on trees, and we've been literally looking for 10 years with quarters in the couch, so this is a really important possibility for us. So for $306,000 and change, so call it $307,000, just to round up, even though you got slightly lower than that, Ari. That is our ask tonight, and here in this committee, you can approve it with our vote and support, so I'm going to ask council members to weigh in with their vote. Council Member Abdi. You're in support. Did you want to say anything to that, or because we're going to spend some money here?
It just sounds like this is, you know, something that we've been needing to do for quite some time. And, you know, like you said, Councilman Kate, you know, this is something that, you know, has been needed for some time. So, yeah, we should support it. Yeah.
Councilmember Sharp?
I vote yes. Get the money.
Right. My vote is yes as well. So at the committee level, this is going to pass through. And Hari, if you don't mind, I will probably bring it up at the miscellaneous to make sure people are aware that we did this tonight. Okay. We are at 6:10, which is a lot of time before the 7 o'clock meeting. I'm going to look at the council members and ask if everybody has miscellaneous. I know I have one. Okay, neither of you do. Mine's going to be brief. We received an email today from, I get my ducks in a row, so I'm still on my National League stuff, so hang on. Just looking at it, and I got the sense, so that's what my problem is. Lisa Clover sent in some information. It was the 26 questions that were captured during a council meeting from public comment. Then we asked them, the staff, which is Laurel, working with the departments to capture what those questions are and provide responses. Lisa sent this email about 3:30 today, so I haven't had a chance to go through all of it, but what she did was reorganize the Q&As, and they provided some feedback. I don't plan to address it in this meeting with that shorter flow, but I do want to talk to council members about where they think this should go. Should we bring this back in another transportation meeting so we can go over the response? What I would ask is we do our homework, read these responses and reorganization, and come back with any other comments we may have, which means we are not going to go through these 26 over again. But if when you read some of the rebuttals and the comments that they've added to them, if it's worth conversation or further questioning of city staff or whatever, we could do that at the transportation committee level and then report out to the committee of the whole, or we could just send it to the committee of the whole. Before you respond, I'm going to ask, is Laurel Humphrey here?
Hi there, I'm here.
Is there a process I'm skipping in what I'm putting out there? I just want us to consider what we could do with this information, or would you recommend a different approach?
You know, to be quite honest, I haven't had an opportunity to review that email yet, but I think from what you've just said, I mean, the process sounds acceptable. I want to make sure that your two committee members also received it.
That would be great to know. I'm saying okay. No. So I guess that's our first step in this miscellaneous, to make sure it goes out to the other, at least the other transportation committee members. And I'm not opposed to having it go out to the entire council so that they're aware.
Mm-hmm. So am I hearing you say that maybe the next transportation infrastructure committee, you'd like to have a second conversation about the question and answer document, including maybe some things that were added after the last time you talked about it, and then in the context of Ms. Cover's email? Does that sound good?
Along those lines, because I know it was a big lift to go through all 2064, and if we have to go through it again because of council comments from the committee members, that's fine. But I feel like the three of us are kind of really have been close to the details on this, and it may be briefer than that. It may not be briefer than that. So now I'm going to shift over to Council Member Abdi to just weigh in on how you feel about this.
Quick question. It sounds like me and Tosh didn't get the link to this. So what can you tell us, Kate, what the Councilman Kate, what's the label of the email so that I can look for it? So I can
Update of responses to 26 questions asked at council. And it's from Lisa Krober. And I'm thinking, Laurel, are you forwarding that right away, or are you going to forward it to all council members?
I've got Councilmember Sharp and Avi's name and the two line right this second. I'm about to hit send.
Brilliant.
Thank you, Laurel.
And it was sent originally to Hari, David, and it says nine more. So Laurel always, myself as a chair, and it was CC to a number of members of the advocates, Sean Albert, Mary Fertakis, Kelly Simmons, Keith Hubreth, Sally Blake, and I see Hannah Hedrick as well.
Yep. Thank you, Laura. I just got it. I see it. Thank you, Councilman Kate, for bringing this to our attention. I agree. I think that like Laura says, acceptable. We could discuss it first and do our homework and read it and come back with our responses. And then if this is something that we want to take this matter to the city of the whole, the council of the whole, then we could do that too. So I like the way that you ordered that, you know, plan. So I'm with those steps, if that's what you guys are comfortable with.
Hey, Councilmember Sharp.
I have no problems reviewing it, but it is sort of a very important topic. So what I would prefer, if it were up to me and I wasn't on this committee, is just to get, as another council member, just get it forwarded to me so I can see them. Of course, you know, once we do our due diligence and look through them, then we can kind of respond to it perhaps to other council members. But I think other council members would want to see it. I mean, if there's something pertinent that they could add to that we might miss. I mean, it's one of these kind of a hot button issues that the more eyes that can see these questions, the better. And to me, I mean, they may not weigh in on it initially. But like we look at it, we make our comments in this forum, and then when we pass it on at the committee of a whole, they'll have an idea of what we're talking about, and then they may have some added insight when we make our response or we bring it to them. That's just my opinion.
Okay, so Laurel, I totally agree, Councilmember Sharp. I know I want all the council members to have it. It doesn't bother me if they have it right away. We got it at 3:30 today, so it's not like we're going to process it or do anything with it. And I'm happy to bring it up during miscellaneous, saying you received this today. And our proposal is what we just talked about here, is to bring it back the transportation group so we can talk about things that we think were elevated, should be elevated and discussed further, and then maybe report out to the committee of the whole next time around. I think I'm going faster than a month here, so I might be, because I'm thinking we'll see it next week, but it'll be 2 weeks. So that we won't make it in time for committee of the whole, will we?
I'm trying to remember when the holiday falls as well. February 21st is a holiday, so you don't have a meeting scheduled until March.
All right.
Because of President's Day.
Yep. Yeah. So I definitely want to bring it back here for deeper turn, but I want to, if it's all right, it sounds like all three of us are good. Have the rest of the council get this forward to them tonight. We could talk about it tonight. If they want to bring it back at a 7 council member level and talk about these details and do homework for the committee of the whole, great, because then we're being more expedient. And if they weren't very verbose last time around, so that's what I'm worried about. They've got too much on their plate and they're not getting to it. But if they didn't, then at least we promised to come back here and raise questions and ask for more information or whatever this causes us to feel needs to be discussed.
So Councilmember Kate, I was going to ask you, should we bring this up to miscellaneous at the end of the meeting today?
So that was my first proposal, is to say that we did receive this email. We asked that it get forwarded to all the council members so they could be working on it. Transportation doesn't meet again until in March. So if they have comments after reading this that they want to bring to the floor, do that during the next COW. Meanwhile, we will do our due diligence next meeting on this. If any of the materials presented bring us to ask more questions or have comments. And then we'll report out if we found something, important in March that maybe the rest of the council just didn't spot along the way.
I agree. Thank you.
Everybody good? All right. I think that's it. Any other questions or comments from council members? Right. This is a lot better than finishing it later than 7, Tosh. You all enjoy your evening, and we'll see you back at 7 o'clock. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.